Podcasting 2.0 for April 4th, 2025, episode 217, Post-Economic. Hey, everybody, welcome once again to Podcasting 2.0. We're not just a podcast. It is a board meeting of the most important people in podcasting today. And some of them are from podcasting from yesterday and from way, way yesterday. Some of us are boomers. We are the only boardroom that isn't broadcasting live from Podcast Movement Evolutions. I'm Adam Curry, here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who fights AI email spam 24-7. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. Oddsage himself, Dave Jones!
I will have you know
Yes. That
I tweeted and tooted.
In the intro.
During the intro, you hit the post, I hit the post at the exact same time.
I mean, we're...
It's a double.
It's a post-a-thon. It is beautiful.
Right under the wire. You said, Dave, Joe, post.
Yeah, perfect, perfect. Well, everybody, welcome to the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Yes, we are not coming to you live from Podcast Movement Evolutions.
Wait, hello, Fred FM in the chat.
What?
In the boardroom, hello Fred-FM says,
oh, yeah. Oh,
song
yeah.
Announcements disabled. The bot will continue monitoring, but remain quiet.
You have to understand that we have the most awesomest people in our community. So this Podcasting 2.0 boardroom, when it's not being used by us, and of course we allow Oystein Berger to come in after the show, and I mean he really messes it up. I mean, there's candy wrappers everywhere, there's empty cans of soda, but he does clean it up. He cleans it up, and so then in between all that, you get song announcements from Hello Fred,
Some of those office fluorescent bulbs, the long ones like laying in the corner, all burned out. Yeah.
Do people still use those?
The new thing is these LED panels that replace those.
Oh,
it's so it's horrible.
Because you know what we used
to, horrible.
You know what we used to do with those? With the fluorescent, we call them TL.
Bust them and watch them explode?
No. Well, what you would do is, so we go up on the roof where we had the pirate radio station in Amsterdam. So we'd be on the roof underneath the antenna, and then we'd each get one, and they would light
and
up.
Make
like,
them light up?
Yeah, like lightsabers. You could have lightsabers. Now, of course, if you actually crashed against each other, then your lightsaber was gone. But it was pretty cool.
I guess it's radiation, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can hold one of those next to your ham radio antenna. It'll light up, too.
Yikes.
As long as you hold on to the metal part.
But don't worry about EMF. It's fine.
And don't ever touch, if you're holding on to the metal part, don't ever touch the antenna itself with your light. That's a bad idea.
Lord have mercy. Yeah. But that phone in your pocket, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Nothing wrong with that. Oh, that'll also light it up. I'm sure one of these phones, if it's ringing.
No.
Oh, definitely. Those things light up with the littlest amount of power. It's pretty amazing.
That's kind of creepy, honestly.
Well, that's why people always got headaches in offices and workshops and stuff. Is, you know, if you were susceptible to it and you had those lights, they're just radiating all kinds of crap down on you.
The LED light panels are worse though, because they just feel it's like you're being questioned in a, you know, in an interrogation room.
You can't dim the power on those. It's only one single
strength. They don't have dimmers in offices. The light is either on and you and work slave, or the light is off and the cleaning crew is there. So work slave. That's how this stuff works.
Oh, that's funny. Let me get the ISO of that. Yeah, here we go. Perfect. As I said in the intro, we actually had a little back and forth about that this week. It's probably the toughest time of the year for you, and so we really appreciate you being here today for the board meeting.
I made special dispensation for this. Yes.
Well, that's really cool, because this is the time when the company you work for, of course, is doing everybody's tax return, and they're all late. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that you were working. It seemed more hours and harder than previous years, because I've gone through these periods with you for about 15 years, I think.
Mm-hmm. And you said, yeah, it's probably the worst. And then you came back with AI email spam is the worst.
Oh, so bad. Off the chart right now. I mean, phishing has exploded in like new and impressive ways since the LLM stuff, because used to, you could really depend on poor translation to sort of identify, yes. But now you can't.
Wow.
You can't. I mean, they all the emails are grammatically really good. So, I mean, you just, it's really hard to tell, you know, when something, they look just like normal emails, but they're coming, you have to go to these extra links to find out that it, whether or not it's legit,
mm-hmm.
like link detonation. And there's these other, you know, so you basically in a sandbox environment, you have like a VM that spins up that clicks the link, goes to where the destination is pointing you to, which could be, you know, two hops away. So a common tactic would be somebody's email account gets hacked at an Office 365 organization.
Yeah.
That email is then connected within the Office 365 organization to a SharePoint site in 365.
And so it has the whole address book, everyone's address book, and it starts to email everybody?
It does have the address book, but what happens is the email account, the 365 account gets compromised, then a PDF gets uploaded to the SharePoint site or the OneDrive for that user.
This happened to our church. Exactly this. And then you get an email and it says, click on this link to download the PDF.
Uh-huh. And what's in the PDF is only another link.
Yep.
To another website, which takes you, and that's where the payload gets detonated.
Woohoo!
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's just off the chain now.
It was convincing. Ridiculous. It was a convincing email because it came into me, and Pastor Jimmy always emails me his file, which is basically all of his devotionals, and I edit them up, chop them up, put them into HelloFred. And it happened to be the very day I was expecting that to come in. Now, it came in from his Bridge Church email address, and it says, you know, Pastor Jimmy is sharing this file with you. And I'm looking, I said, well, that's odd. Why would, and it said, you know, Bridge Project, or even the name of the file. It was pretty sophisticated. And I'm like, no, this doesn't look right. And then, of course, everybody who is in the church, the main database.
Everybody got a copy.
Yeah, 1,000 people at least. Yeah, everybody got a copy.
Yeah, Stephen B. saying that he got a fake email from a, claiming to be from his HR department. HR department. We're seeing a bunch of that too. So it's like the latest round is, here's the latest revisions to the employee handbook.
Oh, that's actually a classic one. I remember that one. Yeah. Or salary.xls. You know, I can find out what everyone's salary is. Yeah. An Excel file is the best to open up.
Salary adjustments. That's another one. Here's the new salary adjustments. Benefits onboarding. Here's our new benefits onboarding. It's just all over the place.
Yeah. And of course, we still do not have an AI to combat the AI created email, which is so disappointing.
And it can't. It never will be able to. Because if the AI creates it, that means that it's based on what humans actually wrote. And so you'll never be able to tell the difference. You'll never be able to tell. An LLM will never be able to tell you whether something is just based on language.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what makes it, sending links and attachments is sort of old school. It still happens, but it'll get you blocked pretty quick. What happens now is they just want to bait you into replying to them. So they establish a look of trust. Mm-hmm. And then later they hit you with the link. And so what you get, which the initial phishing email is no longer the payload. Mm. It's just bait. And all it says is, you know, hey, I found your company on Google and I just moved to the area.
Oh, well, I'd be out already. I'm like, no.
There's nothing about it that sounds that you could get 10 emails that all sound that way, and two of them are legit, and eight of them are phishing, and you will never be able to tell the difference with software. You just can't.
Yeah. So I, since we're talking about it this week in AI, Twilps. There we go. This week in liquid soap. So I'd signed up. I read an article about this new agentic AI called Manus.im.
Wait, M-A-N what?
U-S.im.
Manus.
It's agentic AI. It's the new thing. Agentic AI.
Manus.im.
Yeah.
What is an IM domain? Where's that from?
I don't know. Imelda Marcos? I don't know.
Imelda Marcos, yes. the Isle of Man.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Okay.
So I'd heard about this thing. And I'm like, and I wasn't even thinking, because I wasn't actually, Void Zero's helping with the liquid soap. And it's even hard for the AI known as Void Zero, what I want to do. So I'm like, oh, this is interesting. And so I say, create, it was a very simple prompt. I was quite surprised. I said, what was my initial thing? Get me the latest Bitcoin price from the past 5 hours, show the price from each hour. And it created a web app, a PWA, that I can refresh. And I actually revised that to say, give me 24 hours. I mean, it is a stunning, stunning little app that it created. In fact, I can probably, can I share that link somewhere? Hold on. I should be able to share the link, I guess.
So it created an app, but where did it put the app? Where does it live?
On my desk. No, I did. It creates a website. This is what's crazy. So it created a website. Let's see. It's going through all of the things here. Let me see if this is the one. Is that the 5 hour? Let me see the 24 hour. I want to post it into the boardroom. Here we go. Okay. Manus.space sounds kind of gross, but here we go. So there you go. And it's stunning. And it did all the stuff I didn't ask for. It has a beautiful chart. It shows me the 24-hour change, current price, 24-hour range. I'm like, wow, that's – and it goes through all these steps. You know, it shows you browsing, looking up all these different things. I'm like, okay, this one can help me with my liquid soap problem.
Nope.
Nope. And you can see it browsing the documentation for the version I have, or at least it says it is. And it keeps throwing errors every single time. I throw in an error. It's like, okay, I apologize for misunderstanding your requirements. Let me clarify. It just keeps on going. And then, of course, I ran out of credits. It ran out of credits, man. I've got no.
Just give us some credit.
Give me some credit. So I'm like, okay, I'm in it. Okay, you guys are trying to do something here. So I went to the upgrade.
How much?
$39 a month.
Woo!
Not cheap. Like, okay, so I burned through 2,000 credits with a couple of queries. So now I have 3,500 credits. So I guess that'll get me 10 more queries, maybe.
This Yikes.
And with all these errors, mistakes, it's just not good. And then now it says, choose the approach that best fits your needs. Could be this script. Could be this script. So it just can't do it.
Have you looked at the source code of this thing?
Of the app?
Yeah. Have you right clicked and done view source?
I will do it right now. Is it crazy?
There's a lot of Chinese comments in this source code.
Really?
Yeah.
Where's the Chinese comments I'm looking for? Oh. Oh yeah.
Uh huh.
Oh man.
Yeah. What does all that mean?
I don't know.
The Chiners. You're in bed with the Chiners. What is symbol shadow DOM? What does that mean?
I don't know. It's a shadow DOM. I'm sure it's now eating away at my hard drive, doing something I don't want.
Yeah.
So it's anyway, it doesn't really matter because everything is in meltdown right now. And they're blaming the stock market meltdown. This is so cool. Scott Bessent, our treasurer of the secretary, is saying, well, I just want you to know that ever since DeepSeek, we already reached peak AI, so it's kind of normal that this is all falling apart now. And I agree with him.
I kind of think that's accurate.
We just needed the catalyst. In fact, let me see if I can find that clip. That was kind of interesting. See, was this it? Yeah, this is it. Here we go. This is from Bloomberg.
Okay, but since the peaks in February,
and this is obviously about the tariffs.
Down 8%. I think the NASDAQ from its high most recently is down 12%. So far, though, this kind of market downdraft so far this year is not concerning you.
Well, look, in my old business, I was very concerned about market movements, and I'm trying to be Secretary of Treasury, not a market commentator. What I would point out is that especially the NASDAQ peaked on DeepSeek day. That's a Mag 7 problem, not a MAGA problem.
Bam! Mag 7 problem, not a MAGA problem.
There's your soundbite.
Yep. So, totally makes sense.
I don't disagree with him. I think it makes sense, yeah.
Meanwhile, back in podcast land, everybody's at Podcast Movement Evolutions.
Not everybody.
And they're all talking about video. Apparently, from what I understand,
what's new?
Video is video. You got to have video. Don't forget to do your short. You got to have the short play. You got to use a short play for your video, for your podcast, the short play. You know what the short play is, don't you, Dave? You got to have a short play. What's your short play?
What is a short play? I have no idea what that is.
You got to have videos of the YouTube shorts promoting your stuff.
Gross.
So people can discover you. Discovery, even though the number one way of discovery is still friends and family.
Yeah, word of mouth.
Yes. And if I may be so bold to congratulate this entire group.
On our achievement?
Yes, we are the number one podcast directory, everybody, according to the Pod News Podcast Survey.
Is this a report card?
The report card.
Thumb finger number one.
Yes, right, baby. And you see right underneath us is Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Google. Which one does not belong in the list? The one that runs on donations from a ragtag crew of nut jobs who can't seem to do anything right.
I wish that Apple and Google and Spotify could see our back end infrastructure. It would just be a complete embarrassment.
We should do tours. We should do tours through your office.
The tour is look at our Linode dashboard. Here's the tour.
Oh, man. That's so funny.
I mean, like, it would be hilarious to just watch it. Like, you just have to shake your head, like, what? Why are these guys number one? What? Why? Why?
I just like saying, check out our back end.
They should check out our back end. It's great. We got a good looking back end.
We got a great looking back end. The back end you've created, it's red beans and rice didn't miss it. I'm telling you.
Red beans and rice.
Let's see. What else have you been? You've just been heads down at the office, right? It's been
I've
crazy.
I've got nothing today. I've got nothing but our boy.
But our boy. Today. Well, let's bring our boy in because you invited him last minute, and he was happy to oblige, and we always love that, and it kind of fits with the guest that we had on two board meetings ago. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Podcasting 2.0 boardroom, the international troublemaker, who is Matt Medeiros.
Showed up to a party with a bag of AI tricks right before.
Oh no.
What bag of tricks? You got a bag of tricks? Show us your bag of tricks.
Oh man, we could talk about it, but it's a pleasure and an honor to be here. And, I find some solace in, being here when everyone else is in Chicago. So
yeah. How come you're not there? Where do you work? What do you do? I lost track of you. Are you still at Castos? Are you the success manager anymore?
No, not the success manager anymore. So I haven't been there for 2 years. I'm back in the WordPress space proper.
Oh
yeah.
Woo! WordPress space.
Work for a company called Rocket Genius, and we make form software.
Rocket.
Do you need to wear a suit in your rocket space?
I don't.
WordPress space. So what does Rocket Genius do?
They make a WordPress plugin called Gravity Forms, and it's a contact form Gravity plugin.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're actually one of the longest lasting plugins in the space. Been around for 15 years. Headquartered out of Virginia. And I do their podcast, some of their YouTube stuff, marketing stuff, and community advocate for WordPress and Gravity Forms.
Oh, and so
Gravity Forms has been around forever.
I remember it too. Yeah. Let me guess, with it, you can create forms easily?
With it, you can create forms easily, payments, anything you want with inputting data and having something else happen after that.
Well, congratulations on the new gig, man. I'm happy for you. What facilitated this move, if you don't mind me asking? why did you leave the podcast space and go to the WordPress space?
I think it was the economy, as I'm told.
You were asked to move to the other space. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
We're replacing the director of podcast success with an AI bot.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you came from WordPress, and you're just going back to your roots, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I got all the podcasting roots, because I started my podcast in WordPress about 15 years ago, and I was just covering, you know, if folks in the WordPress world knew about James Cridlin, they would call me the James Cridlin of WordPress.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know about that one, brother. That's harsh.
Yeah. I've been covering it for a while, and it was a natural fit to slide back to that side of my career.
Well, cool.
That's an interesting. I'm glad. Yeah, I'm glad to have this conversation, because I've been thinking about this for a long time. There's this weird sort of uneasiness between podcasting and open source. I would say the podcast industrial complex and open source, which is ironic when you think about it, because, you know, podcasting was born in about as open source way you could possibly imagine, with, you know, RSS and then an OPML directory, and then it became like rapidly when it became sort of like an industry, everybody went secret. Everybody has proprietary stuff.
Yeah.
You know, nobody shares any code or anything. And it feels like it was born in open source, and then rapidly sort of like open source was like rug pulled out. Mm. But it's still at the foundation of what podcasting actually is. You know, it's a weird dichotomy.
Yeah. I mean, the reason why I get so emotional about this stuff, like my response to Tom and like some other stuff I've published in the past, is because I've heard the same kind of criticisms to WordPress for literally 15 years. And aside from Automattic laying off 16% of their staff 2 days ago.
Oh, I didn't hear about this.
Yeah.
That explains a lot.
Yeah. There's a whole thing happening, with Automattic, but I've heard the same criticisms of WordPress for 15 years, you know, bloated software, old, nobody uses PHP anymore. The competitors like Wix and Squarespace are
video is better.
Yeah, right. It's the same. It's the same sort of thing happening. But then when you take a step back and you look for WordPress powers 45% of the websites on the internet, which is just a massive number. So it's like, how bad could this be if people are still using this solution that you keep telling me is dying year after year?
Yeah.
The death of PHP has been proclaimed forever, you know, and then WordPress, one thing that's interesting to me about WordPress as it relates to podcasting is that it's probably at least as responsible for the success of podcasting as Apple.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wasn't it baked in very early?
They had RSS feed for every link of a WordPress website. So no matter what page you're on in WordPress, you can do /feed and it will generate
the feed.
It'll give you the feed for that category or that archive. But Castos was actually, uh, they got investment from Automatic, seed investment. That's how I got the job.
I didn't know that. Interesting.
And the whole time when I was there, Craig was like trying to tell them, like, don't you want to scoop us up and own us? Because they had bought Pocket Cast when I was at Castos. It was a natural progression to just kind of own a hosting company too. So they still didn't do it and spent hundreds of millions of dollars on other things that have got them in trouble. But certainly like publishing, putting words onto the internet with an RSS feed. Yeah. I mean, WordPress is the de facto CMS for that, in my opinion.
So I'm sorry, Dave, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, am I wrong? Do you still have to have a plugin to put an enclosure into a WordPress RSS feed?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's okay, I guess somebody like Tall
PowerPress.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess PowerPress was the first one, right?
PowerPress was probably the first one, but where Castos has Seriously Simple Podcasting plugin,
right.
And it was a different name, and Craig acquired it from a developer. They came out roughly the same time ish.
Yeah. I just remember back in the day, you could, you know, like so many were, and still are, but really early on, there were so many podcasts being run off a WordPress site.
Yeah.
We don't have to go into it too deeply, but of course I've been following the WP Engine, WordPress, yes, fracas back and forth. Now, all of a sudden, it feels like, was this some kind of elaborate setup for a downsizing due to the economy?
Yeah. There's a lot here. I could go into it forever, but I'll try to summarize as quickly as possible. I mean, Mullenweg fancies himself probably along the same lines of like an Elon, a Zuckerberg, your typical tech guy. And, he has done some pretty big damage to the community since August or September of last year when we had WordCamp. And that's when he sort of like roasted WP Engine over the coals in his live talk. He actually kicked them out of the conference that we were at, or tried to kick them out. Yeah. And they were sponsored. I mean, they dropped probably 100,000-150,000 to be there with the booth and the huge team that they bring. And, so, you know, fast forward, what we've kind of uncovered through all of this stuff is when Matt started Automatic, he also started the WordPress Foundation.
Yeah, there's your conflict right there.
Right. And he's on the board of the foundation. And what kind of came out of this, which nobody knew, everyone always thought WordPress.org, which is the biggest distribution point for free themes and plugins, everyone thought that that was part of the foundation. Well, through all of this discovery of through legal, we've just found out that he's just the sole guy who runs it. there is no like protection. It's just this dude's website which literally powers, 45% of the web. And when things started to go south with WP Engine, they have a very popular plugin called Advanced Custom Fields, and it creates custom fields for custom post types. And he literally just took over there. Like eminent domain, just came in, took over their plugin, which had millions of installs, and just made it secure custom fields by Automatic. And it was like the biggest egregious takeover of open source, like I think anyone has ever seen, right? There's been a lot of like bad stuff happening. He's kicked people out of, the community. He's banned people from going to WordCamps, which are the events held around the world. If you criticize them, you were blocked. It's been a bit of a roller coaster
this
ride.
This is so, I know Matt. When I was at Pod Show, we lived in the same building. We'd bump into each other. He was always a really nice guy.
Yeah.
So I never got any of that kind of Elon juice from him. Let me rephrase that, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. He was on a podcast recently. The guys from, now owned by HubSpot, My First Million, Sam Parr, and the other guy, I forget his name, but anyway, Sam doesn't really know Matt. And he just had like the biggest backhanded compliment where he's like, wait a minute, WordPress has 45% of the internet share and you're not the richest guy in the world. And this is because, well, that's because funny. Just not how open source works, right?
Well, I mean, it's like people still think I'm a billionaire because, you invented podcasting. Yeah. How come you don't, how come you're driving that car? It's like, no.
But yeah, I mean, there's definitely the vibes of like when you get to know him behind the scenes and hear like one of the comments he made, like when people first, when this started all going south, you know, everyone was kind of afraid about their business, like their freelance businesses, their agencies, you know, how I came up
and it's an ecosystem.
Places like Rocket Genius. Yeah. Like we're all kind of like wondering what's going to happen. And he made a statement that he's post-economic, so he doesn't really think of those things.
That's not the statement you want to hear.
Show title, post-economic.
Post-economic, right?
Well that why the current crash could be his fault. Anytime you say I'm post-economic, that's your crash right there.
Because of the WordPress fracas, the Dow is crashed. Yeah,
The S&P's down 500 by the, you know.
All right, okay. Well, that's all very unfortunate. That's too bad. I mean, that would be Dave, like, if you and I went post-economic.
I'm post-podcasting.
Yeah, really. Well, speaking of such, you sent us a couple of links to discuss today. And, and we should probably, and this probably folds right into it. I want to talk about the .cc site in a second, but let's start off with your this Substack. That's the Substack, I guess. Is it a Substack?
No, it's WordPress.
Oh man, it looks just like a Substack. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. That's a great WordPress theme. From your the podcastsetup.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the question is the podcast industrial complex dead?
I figured I could get a shot back at it too, you know, since everyone asks if podcasting 2.0 is dead. I feel like I could have a shot back at that. But from Dave's blog post last week, right, when you talked about the live item tag and sort of like advocating for that. See, I've always seen in my critical take of Tom Webster and that other video and post that I put out, I've always seen the open source side of what you guys do, just like WordPress. In other words, there's WordPress, and then there's companies like Rocket Genius that I work for 15 years. They've been making software that sits on top of WordPress. And there's a whole economy, billions of a WordPress economy of themes, plugins, hosting providers. And then you just have WordPress as that framework, if you will. And that's the way that I see RSS with podcasting. It's the way I see how you all enhance podcasting through Podcasting 2.0. And it's been unsettling that that like other folks don't see it out of our bubble, right, of podcasting 2.0. So in today's video, in today's blog post, what I did is I took to my friend AI and I built this app called podcastpower.cc. And what I've built is just a demonstration of some of the really cool marketable, is the way that I see it, podcasting 2.0 tags, like chapters, the live item tag, transcripts, location, the person tag. And I've loaded up, you know, your podcast and all the other podcasts that cover podcasting in there in a demonstration for folks to see how all of our podcasts react to these different chapters. And I've tried to make it as like a utility where if somebody's interested in this, like they're hearing what we're talking about, or they're, you know, they hear me rattling the cage all the time about this stuff, that they can just learn more about these tags and where to develop.
Yes. I love this. I see the little learn about podcast, live item, podcast person. Oh, very cool. Well, this is a great idea. I love it. Podcast power dot cc.
Yeah. This is interesting because you have the, You're showing the thing, and then you're linking to. You're not just. It's not just documentation. It's documentation baked into
an example,
sort of a live example of the app as it's functioning.
That's very cool. Right.
Yeah, it's what we do in the WordPress world. Like if you install a WordPress theme, if there's no content on your WordPress website, it just looks like nothing. It's just a header and a footer and an empty middle. So there's the idea in WordPress, like the style book, where you have all of like the heading tags, the how everything looks, like all your content. It's just one page. So a user can go to it and say, oh, this is what my content's going to look like when I use this theme. So I was you know, listening to what you were saying and reading what you wrote about Live Item, I was like, you know what, let me just throw this together.
That's great. That's using great, AI. Man. I love that.
You know, and it's a cool, you know, little project, but also a little sample of like what I think is really cool about podcasting, like being able to see randomized chapters to find like fun moments. Not quite the one button of joy that you all talked about with Tom, but it is just a way of thinking about this stuff differently and visually, I guess.
How did you put this together? I mean, look, what exactly did you do?
I said, please make me an app. is actually how I
can
how I did
can
it,
I but, can I give yeah. you my liquid soap script and a couple of things that needs doing.
Yeah. So for this particular app, I've made a couple other apps with AI, and let me just take a step back. I'm not a developer, obviously, but I am. And why I am good at, I say that I feel like I'm good with like the community evangelism with WordPress is because I can see both sides of it as a user and a developer, and I can kind of chat with both teams in the middle, which is, you know, what I was doing with Castos as well, right? So I use an app called Replit, R-E-P-L-I-T.
Oh, yes, I've heard of this one. People have told me that I should shut up. AI is great. Have you seen Replit? Yes, I have heard of this one.
I wouldn't go that far, but it is one of the better, more sane versions of coding with AI because everything's in-house. And the infrastructure's in-house. So I should say, like, you tell it what you want for a framework. In this case, I'm using React. And it has database in-house. It has, you know, your edge functions in-house. It has everything kind of like in-house Replit does. You could think of it as like the Adobe Photoshop of AI.
You know what I like about this? This type of AI specifically that does these types of things, very similar to what Manus did with that web app for me. That could actually revolutionize what I call universal apps.
Yes.
That could actually revolutionize it, where people are like, well, I created a Replit app, you know, anything but PWA people might be interested in. Mm-hmm. And it could create quite a storm of web apps. That's interesting.
Yeah. And that's part of my, my argument in today's post video, and demonstration
The debate
shouldn't always be, or for me anyway, it's not just about like, hey, I love podcasting 2.0 because it's free, man, and you guys in the closed gardens, we don't want that. It's also about the fact that from a development standpoint, because it's open source, the at least in our timeline right now, AI can quickly build with these open source solutions. And it doesn't have to be with AI. Obviously, if you just know how to develop, then you have an advantage. But I can build these things because it is open source. And, you know, like Tom criticizing the apps, you know, again, I agree with a lot of what he says. But with something like this, it's like you might not have to wait for an app or a podcast hosting company to catch up, air quotes, catch up. You can just build the experience yourself.
That is interesting. Okay, that's interesting.
I like it. Well, this is, thank you for doing this, because this is one of the things I've been saying for months now, is we need different experiences, different things. This is the beauty. It's not this set thing that we have to create every single time. I mean, you've just proved it. By the way, I have a summary of your blog post from manus.im. I'll go straight to the future vision and conclusion. The post concludes by suggesting that as podcasting evolves, the gap between what's possible with open standards and what's available on the mainstream platforms will likely grow. Rather than waiting for the industry to catch up, podcastpower.cc demonstrates how creators and developers can build the future themselves using open standards, AI, and commitment to open ecosystems. Conclusion. The blog post makes a case for embracing open standards in podcasting through the practical example of podcastpower.cc. It positions podcasting 2.0 as not just a technical specification, but as a philosophy that preserves the open nature of podcasting while enabling innovation and enhanced experiences for both creators and listeners.
Yes. Yeah. When you zoom out on this project, this is, you know, six or seven podcasts here. The ones that cover podcasting, but this could be, you know, if you're like a big branded audio play and you have comedy shows, you have sports shows, like you can build a whole different experience, you know, on the web with this stuff.
Amen.
You know? And you could have your live stream with your chat box right next to it. And that, like, that competes against that live stream experience that Dave wrote about last week. So,
well, yeah. What's cool is on, like, if you go to, so I'm on podcastpower.cc and I'm looking at Pod News. I switched over to Pod News Weekly Review, mm-hmm. and because they have links in their chapters out to various, you know, articles they've talked about or whatever, these become clickable links that you can just go to and see the content. These are like one of them is that's on the screen right now. It's Tom Webster's article, and you clip chapter link and you go straight to his article. Like, this could be such a, it becomes structured, like another source of structured data, but it's highly relevant data because it's been curated by actual people, sort of like pod roles and such. Is pod role in here?
I wanted to do pod role, but I think I have to look up right through the GUID, and I'd have to have a, this is where my shortcomings of being a developer show really quick. I would have to look up that GUID on the podcast index database, right?
You don't. That's a common misperception about the because it uses the remote item, which can use a feed URL as well. So you'd have the feed URL. You'd have the feed URL. You'd have to resolve it back into a podcast somehow. But you don't have to look it up by GUID. You can look it up by URL.
So here's the question. The podcasting, what we're doing here at around podcastindex.org, podcastindex.social, colloquially known as podcasting 2.0. There's significant criticism about the project. It's not being led. There's no evangelism. Since you come from a long history of open source, because you say open source, I say open source. I'm not quite sure why we're different there, but I'll try open source. How do you think we could do this in a way that is more effective that leads ultimately to a success story like WordPress so that Dave and I can become rich and blow it up later?
Yeah.
So I want the foundation.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when I think of WordPress, it's just like we're waiting for hosts and apps. Like, there's always going to be that tug of war, chicken and the egg, whichever like phrase you want to use on that. But with WordPress, when you go to look for themes, right, there's the WordPress theme directory. And it's just, here's a browser with all these themes in it. And you click to preview, and you can see the theme. And even that is something that's finally starting to mature, where now you can do it in your own WordPress website and see what it looks like before you actually make the change. And, you know, I don't have like the technical answer to that, but previewing what these other experiences look like in the directory, you know, whatever, I'll say screenshots of these apps, like the different podcast listening apps or the podcast hosting companies, their interface, like there should be maybe like these landing pages like WordPress has. Here's the theme. Here's what it looks like. It's just screenshots. And maybe that'll help people see some of this stuff, you know, without having to go full blown build a demo site like this. Although you could build a demo site like this that showed off the different tags in their different features.
There's no WordPress of podcasting. And I'm curious why. I can see Todd Cochran squirming in his seat right now, but what I mean specifically is like, I mean something real specific by that. Of course there's things like PowerPress and Castos, but what I'm saying is like, So if you look, let's look back and say, okay, fundamentally, the web is based on HTML. Podcasting is based on. Let me do a better job. The web is based on HTML delivered via HTTP. Podcasting is built on XML delivered by HTTP. They're essentially just parallel tracks of the same the same style of distribution mechanism for content. But on the website, you had WordPress, which sort of came along and made it super easy to do, sort of to kind of like democratize owning a website and running a website. You didn't, there's been a few of these types of things in podcasting. I think of like, was it Podcast Generator? That was Alberto's early software. There's been a few of these things, but there hasn't been like the full package where you just had like, okay, if you want to run a WordPress site, you could find a million articles on how to spin up a LAMP stack.
Right.
And bada boom, you got a website. There wasn't something similar for podcasting where it's like, do this, 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 and now you're running all of your own stuff. Instead, what you have to do is go and install WordPress first, then install a WordPress plugin called PowerPress, then you get what you want. Like,
an open source one? I think the guy's from France. I want to say like
Cast the Pod.
Cast the Pod. Yep.
Never successfully installed it.
It's still basically a website, though. You know, you're building a website that also delivers podcast content. I guess what I'm talking about more is like, where is the it's like internet in a suitcase? Where's the podcast host in a suitcase?
Yeah,
that you just sort of like flip the switch and I've got my own podcast host that I'm running myself.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to be one. And I always wonder why.
Bandwidth. That's a historical problem. The historical problem is bandwidth. And it was Libsyn were the first guys who figured that out. And we all sat there scratching our heads going like, how are you paying for this? Mm. How are you? I still don't know. Well, I mean, I guess they had Chinese investors eventually to pay for it. Mm. I know that's a low blow. But that so historically it was just an issue. Remember the daily source code, if you know the backstory, ran on my was it the Mac drive? And the Apple guy saw what was happening, and this according to Steve Jobs, he said, yeah, we saw all this bandwidth coming from your Mac drive, but I just said, just let him have it, let's see what happens. According to Steve Jobs. So I'm going to take that for what it is. Dead man tell me no lies.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing too, like WordPress has become a success because it was able to be packaged up, right? PHP, HTML, CSS, and then just distributed across all these major web hosts, GoDaddy, Endurance International, like, you know, all these massive hosting companies. And that's the moat. Essentially, that's the moat to WordPress, is it is distributed, you know, across 3,000, 4,000 web hosting companies across the world. And it has the advantage because it's open source, so they're allowed to do that. But then you have like the business side of it that can distribute it like that.
And I guess maybe that's the difference there, is that you have something like Castapod just came too late. It came too late whereas within WordPress was very, very early in the web. I don't know what year it was, but it came very quickly. And it's then
21 years old now.
21 years old, yeah. Whereas in podcasting, you had podcast hosting companies that took that role, and something like Castapod didn't come until, 20 years later.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, well, it's already a thing now. And then I guess what makes me sad about that is what you end up with is this thing like James mentioned the other day on, I think it was in the podcast, the report card stuff. He said, in his write up about the different directories and how they were ranked, showing that the index was the number one. He made a comment. He said, this is before Apple fixed their problems with podcast submission. But they really didn't fix any problems with podcast submission, because the only thing they changed was now your hosting company can submit for you.
Right.
But you still can't submit yourself. Like, you can't as a person just go in there and randomly stick a show into Apple's directory. Like, it still goes through these gatekeepers of the hosting companies. or you have to go create an Apple account. Like there's no open source way to put these things into the directory. And that's sort of like this unfortunate side effect that we had where the way into podcasting, at least before the index came around, the way into podcasting distribution all gets funneled through, you know, companies. Now, I mean, we love the hosting companies. They're great, but it's not like in the web, you don't have to ask anybody's permission, you know, to right. get in, to get listed somewhere. I mean, it's just the way it's just open.
One of the things I was trying to advocate for at Castos and also like still scratching my head that it doesn't really exist. And maybe it's because there is no market for it, but I disagree because I think James just talked about, I'm going to forget the name of it now, the Patreon. So he just, I think it was on the air today, like, I don't know how many millions of dollars in paid subscription podcast Patreon just announced. But with like, again, looking at podcastpower.cc, every podcast hosting company should just have their own version of Patreon built right into the websites, you know, because that's eventually what happens. This is what happened at Castos. You'd have the customers go, okay, I'm all set. And maybe this is part of the problem. Customers would go, okay, I'm all set. I got my RSS feed. Now let me go to 18 other places and get the stuff that I need. The website, the Patreon, the email service, you know, the clip maker, the recording studio. And then now the podcaster has 18 different tools to do all this stuff. With open source and with the podcasting 2.0 stuff and RSS, you could just have a Patreon page for every customer on your hosting company and have them push to that URL. And then they don't have to pay the exorbitant Patreon fees. They would just have a link out to Stripe or wherever that they want to get their donation from. And that's why I look at this too. If you look upstream, you know, to the criticisms I give, you know, at the top of the market with these big, you know, Hollywood plays or big brand plays, yeah, but they're also giving a big percentage to YouTube and Spotify for their ad deals. Why not just build an experience right on a landing page, and then they don't have to share in the revenue cut? They can just sell their goods right alongside their live stream. Isn't that what everyone wants? So, like, I just look at it as like this stuff is very flexible, and it's all right there at everybody's fingertips. You know, like if you look at the new media show on Podcast Power and scroll to the bottom, Todd has his. I scroll to the bottom, I put it below the episodes. Todd uses the location tag and I quickly integrate with OpenStreetMap and it just plots out where he put his longitude and latitude. So, perfect. you know, like if you're like a city or a town and you have a tourism thing and it's like, hey, we have this whole audio experience and it's plotted out across your town. Like this stuff can be built rather quickly. Again, I'm using AI because I'm not a developer, but it does quickly build these things out. I mean, don't look under the hood.
But I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right about that though, because like Buzzsprout did it. Sorry. You know, they put the Buzzsprout. I keep on wanting to call it Buzz Bucks, but that's not what I forgot the name of it. It's like where you can like click. You know, they put a funding link in your feed, and then they go and you can pay for it right there on. Right. On like a site that's run by them. And that makes, you know, that makes perfect sense to me that rather than having, you're so right. Rather than having to go to this other, these other services, you know, I was watching this video of, watching the video of Linus Tech Tips and how they make their revenue the other day. And I think if I'm not mistaken, I think they said that the rev share for subscriptions, gets divvied up in some based on some algorithm. I forgot the way it works. And then they get, I think it's 45% or 35% of that. And if they go over a certain view count, it's 45% of that. So, I mean, YouTube is, you know, they're keeping 70% plus of what, you know, 60 or 70% of what you're of that revenue share. So the podcasting host running that thing directly makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
So,
you know, and Castapod should put that in there, basically bake it in there with a Stripe API key.
So I heard you on the Podcast Weekly Review, also known as Power. And you were talking about what Tom Webster had written and then the conversation we had had. And you were, heartbroken over something we said, and I want to explore that. How did we show me on the podcasting 2.0 doll where we touched you?
Matt, you've got a hard out though too, Matt. I want to be careful of your time. Just let us know when you need.
I still have 30. I have 30 minutes.
Okay, cool.
Okay, good, cool.
Yeah. Again, I'm comparing my. So my experience of evaluating the podcast 2.0 is the same thing with WordPress, right? Because I've heard this in the WordPress world so many times of people who are literally giving tens of hours, hundreds of hours, thousands of hours of their lives free open source contributions to WordPress. And then people come in and just bash WordPress. But at the same time, they're making money with WordPress. And it blows my mind that you can bash the foundation that is making your money. And I'm not saying that Tom was, but that was a tipping point, right? After like seeing all like, is podcasting 2.0 dead? Is value for value dead? Like, and it was just like, the sentiment was just driving me nuts. And then I finally cracked. But there was the line from Tom, where I think he said I think he said maybe leadership was rudderless or something like that.
Sounds about right.
Sounds, yeah. I know. Yeah, I heard you guys say sounds about right. And I was like, no, guys, no. Like, cause I still look at you, as you both, as the leaders of the space. And, you know, I think it was a few episodes ago, Dave, you were sounding pretty stressed out about a lot of criticisms over the image stuff. And I won't pretend to know like the full conversation about that, but I was just like, man, I need to stick up. I need to stick up for these guys because I don't think anyone else is going to do it. So, you know, that's how that moment of emotion, you know, came out, because I just look at all the work that not only you two, but all the other folks that are in Mastodon that I see, you know, chatting all the time about this stuff. And I really look at this as, this is hard work people are doing, and it shouldn't just be brushed over, because I see it get brushed over on the WordPress side all the time. And, you know, it's important stuff, man. So like, you can't just let this stuff go away.
So let's look at the analog here. Now the difference between the WordPress space and the podcast space is, there's very few podcast app developers. That's historically been that way because of the feed generation and what Apple would accept, et cetera. But in both cases, it really kind of went wrong the minute it got commercialized, because there's big WordPress conferences, and it's paid for by someone, and the money's coming from somewhere. We don't really have all of that. Our funding comes in small, very welcome donations, and monthly we get some nice big ones from some of the hosting companies. But the podcast movement, if you will, the podcast industrial complex, they don't give a crap. Sorry. Oh, sorry, yeah. Jesus. They don't give a crap. They just don't care about what we're doing. You know, they care by saying it's no good. It's rudderless. There's no leadership. There's no evangelism. And my favorite is, Adam should do a keynote. Yeah, sure. And they don't invite me for that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, it seems like when someone commercializes open source, see, I'm learning. That's when it goes wrong. That's when it kind of goes askew, and you bifurcate, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah. I believe, I'm not trying to pick a fight, but I totally believe in what Tom and Brian and team are doing. It sounds profitable. Like there has to be, I guess, folks in that space talking to that demographic of podcasters and audio people. And it makes total sense. But I just don't want this podcasting 2.0 stuff to be passed over. We had an exchange once, online, and I was like, we have to support podcasting 2.0 more in the media, in the news, right? Aside from just pod news. And he has asked like, well, how would I do that? And it's just like, well, you would have to cover it more. Like, you'd have to write about it more. You know, and
you know, that's interesting. In 5 years, I have never been interviewed about this project.
Well, you listen, not when a, you,
I mean, sorry to say, outside of pod news, and the new media show, nothing.
I was listening to the conversation with Tom, and I literally threw my hands up when you were like, "Hey, what does Sounds Profitable do?" And you're like, "Hey," and he said, "We're trying to build a I forget what it was called, a vendor membership or something like that." And you were like, "Where's my email?" And like, he was just like, "Well, I guess I never sent you one," or a trade, right? Like a trade organization of podcasts. And you said, why didn't I ever get an email?" And I was like, "Yes, that's my point, is that you have to include the podcasting 2.0 guys and the app makers and the hosting providers that are doing this stuff too. It can't just be about that full on commercial side."
Yeah. Well, that goes back to the very first thing that I brought up earlier in the discussion, is that there is a uneasy tension between open source and the podcast and the commercial side of podcasting. Right. They don't get along. And I think it's more than just, open source is sort of antithetical to the needs of commercialized media. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to proprietize the stack in order to keep it away from other people.
No, yes, you're correct. But let's go straight to the end here. It's always about the content. People are drawn to content, and the content is what's being monetized. They got pipes. They got pipes everywhere. That hence the video, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. It's the content what matters, and they're monetizing the content. They're not monetizing podcasting. Mm-hmm. That's the issue right there. And, well, won't make any difference if I have some chapters. That's not going to make the monetization any easier. We need downloads, and we need measurement, and which is why true measurement is not desired by the podcast industrial complex, because Tom Webster kind of danced around it a little bit, but I don't think anyone really wants to know what the real numbers are.
Yeah.
And you can tell me a million times that it's pretty accurate, but I don't believe it. I just don't believe it.
I've alluded to this before, but you know, somebody gave me an example one time. Somebody at a hosting company gave me an example one time of a podcast that used one of these services that will put your podcast in into like banner ads that are in mobile games.
Oh yeah.
And then you click the banner ad, and what you get rewarded in game for subscribing in Apple Podcast is the long and short of it. So what you do is it artificially, because of the way that the Apple app download algorithm works, it artificially inflates your download numbers by a certain amount, you know, in the short term. And so what you have to do is you have to keep re-upping with this service. Because if you don't, you'll fall out of the ad rotation, and your numbers will come back down. So you keep resubscribing to this artificial boosting service to get your podcast subscription and download numbers up, and then that flows through to your hosting company, and your numbers look big. Well, then you go as the producer of the podcast, you go and show the company whose name is on the podcast, you go and show them, "Look at how big our download numbers are." Well, right. These download numbers are not real, but nobody in the chain actually cares.
Yeah, I think the funniest thing is that, I don't know if he's provided a recent update, but James says that, you know, Pod News is being download spammed by some bot somewhere at Google. He's got 40,000 mm-hmm. downloads per day on the Pod News daily, and no one cares. No one cares. It's obvious that something scammy is going on, or there's something that has been activated, and no one even cares to turn it off. It's unbelievable.
The producer who signs up for a service like that, they are happy because they get to show big numbers, and the brand whose name is on the podcast, they're happy because they see big numbers. It's a win-win, and the numbers are all fake, and everybody's happy. It's like, nobody cares that they're not real.
They don't.
You know?
And
I think that's that layer that sounds profitable is trying to protect is, you know, the money side of audio and making sure that that doesn't go away. And what I mean by that is because when I was at Castos, you'd always have the folks, I'm starting a podcast so I can be like Rogan. And this is all at the height of like post COVID. So like everyone was trying to do this thing. And it's like, it shouldn't just be about your number count. Like if there's 100 people listening, 10 people listening, if you're making an impact and they're interacting with you and they're talking with you and they're recommending you, what more do you want? I feel like it needs a reset in expectation for audio. Like, does it need to compete with video? It's a totally different thing, in my opinion. And you should actually want a more engaged audience with lower numbers because at least you know they're listening and talking back to you.
Yeah. Well, I think the podcast industrial complex is its own worst enemy. They're the ones that keep asking if video is right. They're the ones that keep talking about it. They're the ones that do forums about it. And what they're really doing is they're just changing perception, changing everything. Right. But that's why I love what Dave and I are doing with the Godcaster, because it's a whole different audience. It's not about podcasting. It's about getting content, managing content, having it in a certain place. And it's about the content and how it's organized and how people consume it. And there's no real issue about what apps we're giving you all the features, and we actually basically just do it with a web page drop in, which also some customers are using in their web-based apps. I mean, it's a native app, but they have a web view in there. And and everyone thinks it's fantastic. They don't care. They love the whole system, the whole setup. They love the audio shows they want. And it's a relatively small group. You know, it's a subset of all podcasting. Mm-hmm. But it's successful. These things are all successful. Small things are successful. When I said on Rogan hyperlocal podcasting, it was like I turned on a huge light bulb and everybody went, "What? I don't have to be Rogan? I can just do a podcast for my town, for my community, for my club, for my church?" What? That has left people's minds. Because of all you hear about is big numbers, number one, charts, et cetera, which is fine. But the internet has always been comprised of small, successful projects and groups everywhere. So even our own conversation shouldn't be – I'm not interested in every podcast app doing it. Maybe I used to be, but I've seen the light. It's not necessary. It's just not necessary to be successful with whatever project you set out to do. This podcastpower.cc is an excellent example of that. If this was the only way you could get my podcast or the only thing I promoted, people would go to this website.
Right.
And they use that. They really would.
The hyperlocal thing is also much more fulfilling, like personally. I ran a local podcast too. And people, you walk into the restaurant and people are like, "Hey, I listen to your podcast." I don't get that on my WordPress podcast because nobody around me is like following WordPress like I do.
Yeah.
And this is another point I wanted to make about like value for value in the local market. It's actually easier to sell on value.
Absolutely.
Even if you only have 100 downloads, you could get a monthly sponsor for $1,000.
Yep.
Who wants to be a part of this thing. And that is very real. And often, you know, overlooked.
Yeah, I've thought for a long time that it would be that just a local podcast that only interviewed local businesses and had got the owners to tell their stories about how they got into the business, how they started the business, all this kind of stuff. Things like that, where you just go around and interview local people and have a you could easily get sponsored for that and have a lucrative side gig, if not a full-time gig. Mm-hmm. For sure. And it's all just reducing scope down to the local level. And that's kind of been the ethos of, like you said, Adam, the ethos of the web for a long time. I remember the first blog I ever had, it was so specific. It was about different types of tobacco because I used to smoke a pipe.
And, I don't remember you smoking a pipe.
This is before we met. Yeah, this is before, this is before we met. Yeah. And so I did this big write up on this one specific type of, it's called twist tobacco. It's this old, really old, like they would take their tobacco and twist it up into these things that look like ropes. And then you just, you know, like take a plug off of it or whatever. And it would preserve it on long trips. And then I had this guy email me and say, hey, can I, you know, I'm a, like a research student and I'm doing my, some kind of thing on a research project on tobacco. Can I use your post and all this kind of, and I was like, oh, sweet. Yeah. It was this sort of like, the more niche you get, the more narrow your focus is, or the more local your focus is, you get much more engagement and than you do if you try to just replicate whatever the big thing is. Yeah. I think it's always that way.
There's one other thing I just wanted to add about the WordPress stuff and podcast index and being successful with all of this thing. Well, it's kind of been shuttered now because of everything that Matt did, but he did start this, I don't know what you would call it, cause, mantra. It was called Five for the Future. And basically his thing was,
yeah, I remember that.
If you can invest, him largely talking to like other WordPress, like web development agencies and freelancers, if you can invest 5% of your time monthly to WordPress, it was sort of like a, you know, rising tide lifts all boats kind of thing. And that could be anything. That could be logging into WordPress.org and answering forum tickets. It could be writing documentation. It could be obviously contributing code to WordPress, solving bugs on GitHub or issues. And it was just this thing, like if you just gave 5% of your time, how much better could WordPress be? Not saying that that's the exact thing that we would replicate in the podcasting space, but, you know, it could be something to chew on of how other folks who might feel like myself, like I couldn't help you write code, Dave, but like, can I do some marketing things like this? Yeah. Can I write blog posts to support it? Yeah. But maybe there's folks that can kind of contribute in different ways they haven't thought of yet.
Yeah, that's a great idea. That's a really good idea. Some sort of like, because you can't, I feel it constantly. Everything, when I spend 3 hours in a week writing a blog post, that's 3 hours of something else I had to not do.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, and it's, and sometimes it's welcome. Sometimes a respite from, you know, from the thing that you are constantly doing is what you need. But a lot of times it really is a distraction. And I think a lot of the hardship of open source comes from when you log into GitHub and you see 300 unclosed issues, you know, and you're just like
299 created by Adam.
your head drops and you're just like, oh, I give up, you know?
Yeah.
And then 10 of them are critical and all, you know, hypercritical of what it's of something. And it's just like a lot of open source boils down to that. Yeah. Just sort of like people getting exhausted. I think that's a good idea for sure.
I love a moment of silence. I really do. Well, so first of all, I'd love whenever you write one of these blog posts or anything, please ping me, Matt, because I'll send it out to my incredibly vast network of followers. Yeah. how am I doing on followers, by the way? For some reason I'm stuck. I'm for always stuck at 98,000. I can't seem to get over it. Let me see.
You're talking about on Twitter?
Yeah, 99.3. It never goes over. I don't know when it goes up. It just never hits 100K for some reason. Because this is really the best I can do. Talking about it here is a good thing, but also let's just keep doing what we're doing. I mean, it's like Stephen B and all those guys that are doing a whole bunch of Noster integration, and there's still a thriving 2.0 value for value music community. And it's all good. You know, it's all, it's all little pieces and bits and bobs, and everyone's using the what's available for their own for the love of their own projects, and that to me is success. And if something catches and goes viral and people start using it, that'll be great. You can't make it happen. You know, it's like back in the Think New Ideas days, we have Reebok and say, hey, okay, so you're our agency, our digital agency. We want a viral video. Oh, okay, I'll hop right on that. I'll make that happen right away. You know, you can't do that. If something catches, it's great. And until then, just use what you want to use for what you want to use it. And it's perfectly valid. No, you know, it's not one homogenized big thing.
Well, John Spurlock posted earlier on the Mastodon. He's like, you know, at the end of the day, podcasting is just people doing stuff they like to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's pretty much sums it up. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
exactly right. And it's fantastic. You know, it's like,
that's open source. That's not just podcasting. That's open source is what that is.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So maybe I'm just going to ignore these conversations from now on. How about that? I'm just not going to participate in it. It's yeah. not important. If people want to do video. That's great. You know, if you mm-hmm. think that's great, you know, but so we had a request because the old version of the product before Dave and I came in had some YouTube scraper functionality. So people could add YouTube videos into their Godcaster player. And we don't have that anymore. It's not podcasting. And so, you know, you get someone saying, oh, I really missed that feature. And I had to think about it. I had to walk around the block for a second. I was like, we really shouldn't do that. It's like, mm-hmm. no. I mean, if it's in the index, if it's an RSS feed, if it's not, then you know, we'll get it into the index. They have a feed of the channel that's, you know, it's not even an RSS. I'm not even sure what it is, some XML thing. Although the index does eat them, I noticed.
It does, yeah, but you don't get anything out of it. Yeah,
you get nothing out of it, but it does eat it, so I immediately marked it dead. I'm like, no, if you want YouTube videos on your site, then get an embedded YouTube video.
The index eats everything. It's like Mikey from the Kix commercials or whatever. Is it Kix? What was that cereal?
Life cereal.
Life cereal. Yeah, Mikey will eat it. Yeah, the index will eat anything. Now, what you get out of the other end is not exactly, you know, great always.
Okay. Well, anyway, so that's kind of where I'm at, where I'm thinking. I listen with great interest to, you know, the reports coming in from Podcast Movement Evolutions. But I'm like, yeah, you know, y'all are running after dollars. And meanwhile, I'm having a lot of fun. I like all the things that we're doing with the capabilities that we've built. And we all do it for different reasons. And, you know, it's good.
You can, when Apple integrated podcasting at the beginning, I mean, how many years of not making any money? Podcasting for them was never a moneymaker.
No, it still isn't.
It wasn't even really a feature that was being demanded. I mean, no, they really just, to this day, I'm not sure exactly why they did it. I don't know. And, you know, at best with subscriptions, it might be break even, and I still doubt that.
No. How many people do they have on staff? They must have at least 10 people, maybe 15.
Yeah, and they probably don't even meet payroll, on that division.
No, I really don't see that as being a moneymaker for them, other than people use their iPhones for it. And at the time, I think it was to make sure that no one else used it an MP3 player. If anything, yeah, that's why Jobs did. Oh, let's keep this. You know, we can't have people using iRiver.
iRiver.
That's not going to work.
I just want to mention one last thing about what Adam just said. It's like we're doing this thing because, you know, we love it and we just want to make our stuff. Adam was interviewed by my colleague for a podcast that we're doing called Our Beloved Medium. And it's a series that highlights all the most important milestones all the most important milestones of radio throughout human history. Episode one opens up talking about World War II, but it's wrapped in a fictional fight for radio. And there's one radio station left on Earth It's trying to get acquired by this big streaming company. And what this radio station is doing is broadcasting these stories. So again, we open up with World War II. Adam's episode is going to be about MTV and the rise of MTV and stuff like that. But if we were turning this into a video, it would have to be a film with actors and cameras. We wouldn't be able to create this thing we really want to create if it weren't for audio. And, you know, we have voice actors and we're trying to set a world and a stage and all this stuff, but we could never do it if it was video. So the answer's not
where's that
video.
At? Where's this?
That's ourbelovedmedium.com.
And it's being released as a podcast?
Yes, yeah. We've got episode one out and we're just raising funding. Shout out to the RSS guys because they sponsored our first.
RSS.com?
Yeah.
Small League Productions. Is that?
That's Stuart. Yeah, that's Stuart.
Oh, yeah, cool. Okay. So it starts off with BBC World Service.
Is that hold on.
This is London calling. We're listening to a news bulletin read in the overseas service of the BBC.
Yeah, baby.
It was preordained.
Yes, it was. It was. I'll just say one other thing. Look at what we're doing right now. I mean, this is it's a podcast, but this is a board meeting. We have 51 people in a chat, which is not integrated into any podcast app or CurioCast or to a degree. It's kind of integrated into podcastpower.cc, but it's irrelevant. You know, there's a couple thousand people listen to this podcast at best. I don't even know how many people listen to it. But it's functional. It's great. And Dave and I are happy. We love doing it still. Dave takes a chunk out of his day, has to go home in that old jalopy. You know, it's like dangerous.
No radio.
He's like the Beverly Hillbillies. He's got grandma on the roof coming home. Hey, granny.
Texas tea.
So it's... That if anything, that is the most important takeaway from this conversation for me is we're building fantastic functionality that anybody can use however you want to use it. And if we believe that this is somehow going to be the next big thing that Apple's going to integrate, well, no, it's not going to happen. And I don't think we ever really intended it to be. We didn't even intend for the index to be number one.
It was a pure accident.
You know, so it's like cool your jets, everybody. It's good. You know, we're doing cool stuff. We use it for different things. And I would have to say the same about the Nostra folks. You know, it's a limited audience and they're happy with it. Now, they still run around saying, this is the future of social media. I don't think so. You know,
That's okay.
Yeah, and that's okay. Exactly. One day something may catch. You know, I don't care that Mastodon is 1% of all social media systems. Who cares? Podcast index.social is super good. It's the first thing I check every day. You okay?
Yeah. Almost died, but it's fine.
All right. And and here's proof that it works. This little open source project. We have people who support us. They support us in a multitude of fashions with our value for value system, which I also check every single day just to make sure my Start 9 is still working, to be honest about it. Like, you know,
I got the IPF podcasting email. I'm going to have to reboot this week.
What did you get?
The IPFS podcasting email.
Oh, you got the email? Yeah, oh,
time
no.
Time for a reboot. Oh, yeah, I haven't automated it yet.
Yeah, no, my Umbral is dead. I gave up on it. I'm like, I don't care. I'm done with that thing. You know, it's too flaky for me. Anyway, I also got a thank you from Podcasting 2.0 for hosting via IPFS Podcasting. 3 sats. All right. That's cool. I love that.
Three sats.
But people did send in some legit boost for us. Let's take Booberry, who sent us 17,776 sats. Thank you, Booberry. And he says, bits plus plus, then bobbles plus plus.
Cool.
1217 from Salty Crayon. V for V still works for Podcasting 2.0. Everyone else says it's dead. Quit. Went over to the YouTube to be a show. Good luck, jabronis. In the pipe. Exactly.
To be a show.
To be a show.
I grew up and became a show.
Listening live on Fountain for the first time, says Dauma. I think we need to defragment to Dauma.
You've been defermented.
How do I change playback speed to 2.5? Hey. I don't think you
stop.
Can. I don't think
just
you can
stop.
Do that. You can't do that on a live show.
Nope.
There's Martin Lindeskog with 1982, presumably his birth year, sending you a super comet of 1982. Oh, London's age. London's age, 43 CE Satoshis. I would like to attend Sam Sethi's unconference. And then he has some kin to conference. In Swedish is potluck in English. Okay. And the podcast show between May 2022. Adam, do you have any suggestions on how to find affordable hotels or other accommodations?
Yes. Gives your tips, Adam.
I have no tips. I have not been to London.
Tips.
I have not been to London in a while. Travel tips. Ask Sam. I'm sure he'd help you out. 777 from Salty Crayon. He says, the bat signal received. Good. Thank you very much. And I've hit the delimiter. Low boostage today. Very low boostage, people.
Yeah.
Where's your boost?
We did get a... this is discombobulated because I didn't have time to organize before I left the office. But we did get a one-off. We got $100 from Languatalk Incorporated.
Languatalk Incorporated.
Baller. Yeah. Shot caller. 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
What does Languatalk do?
It says, just wanted to thank you for a great API. We just donated $100 to your project. It allowed us to add a podcast player for language learners with interactive transcripts and more.
See, this is exactly what I'm saying. Boom. Languatalk. Learn language with 5-star tutors. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, see, I hear that. That'll make me happy throughout the whole weekend.
Straight up. Yeah,
it really does.
That's not a podcast app, but they needed podcasts.
That's why we built this thing. Perfect. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Love it, love it, love it.
Let's see. We got, so let me go back to, or I'm just going to do the monthlies in here too. Chad Farrow, $20.22. Thank you, Chad. Cameron Rose, $25. Thank you, Cameron. Kevin Bay, $5. Brendan over at Podpage, $25. Thank you, Brendan. New Media, that is Martin Lindeskog, $1. Mark Graham, $1. Joseph Maraca, $5. Oscar Mary, $200.
Whoa.
Baller. Oscar,
thank you.
Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Love it, brother. Thank you. That'll keep the machines humming for a day or two.
And Oscar Me talked over email the other day. He said they've got some cool stuff coming for Fountain. So that's
ooh,
good.
And, yes, the new release.
We got some booster grams. Macintosh says, I would love, 2121 through Fountain. He says, I would love to listen in on that liquid soap session. Any chance it could be recorded and made available? Go podcasting. You should record yourself talking to AI on liquid about liquid soap as a podcast and release it.
That is a really horrible idea.
It is terrible. I don't think
we want to do that.
I regretted it before I finished that sentence. Bruce, the ugly quacking duck, 2222, through Podcast Guru. Need artwork showing Dave with big shoulders holding off a shoe sole with the name Blame It On Dave. 73s.
Says 73s.
Cole McCormick, Satchel Richard, 1111. Wait, did you read this one? As a podcaster live streaming, my podcast has been a game changer. Really happy Pod Home has the lit tag. It's very simple to set up. I've recently been their video creator for tutorials and have a couple of videos to walk you through how to set up your broadcast tool and a link and link it up with Pod Home's server. Go to any of Pod Home's socials or the Podcast Norma YouTube channel to check it out. Maybe I could make Godcaster tutorials for you guys if you need them.
Whoa, who is this?
Cole McCormick.
Cole McCormick. Shoot me an email, brother.
Yeah.
I got some needs.
And the delimiter, comic strip blogger, 18,060 sats through Fountain. He says, howdy, Dave and Adam. I'd like to invite your audience to subscribe to a 30-minute long podcast called Under the Radar, available at www.relay.fm/radar. Both co-hosts are millionaires. Marco Arment, the developer of Overcast podcast app who got rich off Tumblr, and David Smith, independent iPhone developer whose Widget Smith app went viral, so he got very rich and moved to Scotland from USA. Good talk about solo dev. Yo, CSB.
Did Marco sell Tumblr?
He was one of the original founders of Tumblr. He owned a bunch of Tumblr stock and got rich when they sold.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. Oh, that's cool.
Yes. I think he was like employee number two or three.
Oh, how nice. That's cool.
Yep.
Late boost from Darren O'Neill, the rock and roll pre-show guy, Chef Darren, 55 in the pipe. If podcasting was all about money, Unrelenting wouldn't exist. Go podcasting. Thank you, Darren. Yep. Yeah, that's true. Unrelenting is always on the stream before we start. And yeah, exactly. And before Darren has a rich wife, so easy talking for you. Some of us got to pay rent, Darren. Oh, man. I'm excited about what's taking place here. I'm excited about this community. I'm excited about all the things that we're developing. I'm not so excited about the podcast industrial complex. What they're doing. So where there's no excitement, I'm not going to venture anymore. And I don't go where I'm not asked.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, Matt, congratulations again on the new gig, brother. I'm so happy for you. You sound happy. And keep blogging, keep posting these good articles. Why are you laughing? Why are you ref?
I just think back to last week when you called me Mad Matt on the podcast.
Well, no, you are the international troublemaker. Of course you are. I mean, but that's what we love about you, man. I love it a lot.
Appreciate it.
And thanks for doing the podcastpower.cc. I'm gonna post that as well. And
cool.
More stuff like that, people. More stuff like that. Yep. Brother Dave, I know you're working this weekend. You got a lot to do.
Yep.
Oh man, yep. man. Can I talk to the boss?
We're getting there.
Can I talk to the boss? Can I talk to the boss?
Melissa? She's right here somewhere.
Yeah. Hey, Boardroom, thank you very much for being here. We appreciate all of you. This is Podcasting 2.0. We are your weekly board meeting of all things Podcasting 2.0. Remember one thing when you go to sleep tonight. Go podcasting!
Podcasts are cool. You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Dadgummit, another fine presentation.